You ever have a Tumblr?
Yeah. Are you talking about like the drink or like a Tumblr account?
Not the Tumblr account.
I've had both.
Like the shaker thing or like a...
Like the drink.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, like that's a Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. A Tumblr for a drink. I thought you were saying there's a drink called the Tumblr. But this, a drink Tumblr.
This is the Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you had one of these?
Yeah. Corksicle does a great one.
Who?
Corksicle.
No, I don't like that.
It's a wine-based Tumblr.
Yeah, see, and I could tell it was worldly from the moment you said it. From the moment you said it, I could tell, nope, not of God. Hmm. Wine corkscrew, worldly spirit.
Shark Tank brand.
Compromise.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shark Tank, not Spirit Tank. Okay, I got to be honest. This morning, I got up very early. 21 days prayer fasting. Mm-hmm. And I use this Tumblr that I just despise. I don't like the marketing. Brand. You know, you got to love your Tumblr.
Totally.
So here I am walking in and I'm just like, nobody knows what this brand is.
No.
It's an internal process.
I asked yesterday, what is that?
Yeah, but now this Tumblr. I would give my life for this Tumblr. Now, this Tumblr, I came home with a twin. It has a matching twin.
Huh. Mm.
And I can't find it. And I got to be honest. Separated. I think about it constantly.
Is it the wife?
It's totally the wife. Mm. I told her when we received these are my favorite cups I've ever had. And I'm obsessed. It's naturally good from Montauk. You know, I'm a Montauk guy, New York. You know, I ran into Dave Portnoy. I've already mentioned that.
Oh, yeah.
But I could give, I would pay $100 for this cup.
How much would you pay for a leadership lean-in Tumblr?
Whoa. This was not... I didn't see this going there, but I'm tracking.
That's a great idea.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, mister. But I'm just saying right now, this morning, the disdain I felt with the wrong Tumblr. The feeling of regret. Mm. You know, it's 5:15 in the morning. Yeah. I've got my coffee ready. It's hot. I go through my cabinet. I've got to pull out Mr. Nasty Pants here, Mr. Corkscrew from the Shark Tanks. I don't want any part of it.
None.
But then I come to the office and I see that Old Faithful was left.
Hello.
Left behind like a Kirk Douglas movie. Kirk Cameron. Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas Cameron Peter. Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's this thing I'm holding. Now, I've had many Blue Bottle tumblers, but they're famous for it. But every time a relative comes into town, they take my Blue Bottle tumblers.
There's two in the cupboard here.
They're mine. I guarantee they're mine. I'm claiming them right now. But this tumbler right here, you can't be a leader until you got a good tumbler. Oh, what's going on, leaners? Leaner Nation. We're leaning into leadership. Like, Jed, don't ever start
with
that.
No, we need a new intro song.
Maybe I'll write a little jingle. I was leaning the wrong way.
Hey, send us your jingles.
Until I leaned into God's way or to John's way.
The leadership way.
I leaned into John Maxwell. And then he pushed me away.
Everything rises and falls on leadership.
Oh, what's going on, leaners? We're having way too much fun here recording in our stew.
The stew.
The LLI studios. If you're part of our nation out there, maybe you're in the car right now. Maybe you're, you know, we got some people watching as a group.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to everybody on the YT. That's YouTube. Make some room. Mr. Beast, we're coming for you. Like, what?
Whoa.
You've got 4,000 subscribers, bro. You better calm down. Go sip your tumbler. We are excited. We are. We just announced today, Leadership Lean In, the next live event coming to you specifically in the month of February. You'll be up on February 2nd. We are doing Zoe Conference February 1st through the 3rd. Right here in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
I'm telling you, you got to get out of Ohio. You got to leave Pennsylvania. You better get away from Jackson Hole and make your way down yonder to sunny Southern California. That's right, my friends. Hillary is gone. It is sunny Southern California. And in the month of February, you do not want to be stuck in, you know,
Denver.
Tucson.
Oh.
You don't want to be in Tucson.
Other side.
Denver even. Oh, yeah. Denver? This time of year? That John Denver. You know, so come to Los Angeles. We've got an amazing lineup of phenomenal leaders. A former leadership-leaning guest himself, Jensen Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best lean-in episodes in the history of the pod.
It's my personal favorite.
And I got to be honest, if you've never listened to this one, you got to go back. Jensen Franklin's going to be there. Leadership-leaning constant, Rich Wilkerson Jr. will be there.
Yep.
Naomi Rain is going to be there. And many other guests. My wife Julia will be there. It's going to be sensational and will not be the same without you. If you're a group, we got a 20% off for you.
Great.
Until Monday morning. If you're an individual, 20% off. Get your ticket price. We're going to be doing a live leadership lean in there. So get your tickets and maybe, just maybe, I don't promise things that I cannot deliver. So it's a big maybe. Maybe we'll have a Tumblr. Maybe by then we can find a way to make a Tumblr happen. Okay,
wow.
Let's jump into today. The title of today's episode is called Who Matters? And I'm not asking you the question like, you know, who out there really matters. I want to convince you today that it's all about who. As you're leading, it's all about your team. It's all about your crew. It's all about your people, your tribe, who you're doing life with. Remember, I don't just build what we're working on with these people. I'm also doing life with these people. Mm-hmm. We're doing life together. We're building the team, the church, the organization, the business, if you're an entrepreneur, whatever you're building, it's all about who's with you. And I love this because Jim Collins wrote a book years ago called Good to Great.
Yep.
And he says it doesn't matter where the bus is going as much as it matters as who's on the bus.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's who over what. Who you are doing life with and who you are building your future with matters more than what you're doing, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's who matters. And so I want to give you a few things. By the way, I'm excited because towards the tail half of this episode, who matters, a guy that matters to me, my dear friend. I love when people clarify stuff like this. My good friend.
This is your dear friend.
And this is a dear friend of me. I've known him for a really long time. Pastor Nick Nilsson is on the pod today. He's got a brand new book. You're going to love him. He's sensational, an incredible leader. He's going to be on the pod here in just a moment, so we're going to jump over to him. But I want to share a few thoughts on this. Number one, it's not what being said that matters as much as who is saying it.
That's right.
It's kind of like, you know, what's being said is very important, but who is saying it matters 10 times more.
Mm.
So if I say to you something that's encouraging, or I validate you, or I say, wow, you know, like I'm proud of you, that doesn't matter to you, April, as much as if it comes from your father.
Mm.
You know, because it's not what is being said, it's who, the source, the author of it. And I think, you know, it's always important to recognize who you are in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you understand who you are, then you understand what you're saying holds weight.
That's right.
What you're saying. And so I think if you understand who you are, you measure your words a little bit more carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You measure out the weight and the authority of your words because you understand a comment from me could go very far. A passing, a flippant comment could really affect somebody.
Yeah.
And so, because it's not about what's being said, it's about who's saying it.
Mm.
And if, because you have to think everything that you're saying is being, it's being cut up in sound bites in people's heads.
That's right.
And I remember they said that, and that one time they said this. And so, you know, for me, the longer I try and get better at leadership, the more I try and restrain my words.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, there's a great proverb that says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And let's contrast that with a different proverb that says, even a fool looks wise when he is silent.
That's right.
So even if I'm the dumbest dude in the room, if I'm quiet, I'm perceived as wise. And if I measure out my words and I make them count, you know, to me, all of leadership is about being deliberate, being intentional. Using seed language. What am I deliberate with? I'm very deliberate with my time, treasure, and talent. I assign those things. Your words should be the same. And so always remember in leadership, it's not what is being said that matters. It's who's saying it. And so, you know, if you're the messenger and you represent somebody, you need to represent them well, because who's saying it is even more, has more authority than you.
Yep.
But if you go to give compliments, you try and, you know, encourage somebody, always make sure you have a good, I think one of the greatest things that's lacking for most leaders is self-awareness. Just not being aware of their power, being aware of their influence, being aware of how they're coming across, how they're being perceived. Recently, Julie and I were in a social setting where we watched this one leader just get on their phone. There's a group of people sitting down, get on their phone, check out for maybe an hour, just on the phone. And when we left, Julie was really frustrated with this person. Like, why do you think they did that? You know, what do you think that was? And I said, you know, maybe they were exhausted. Maybe they're tired. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Nevertheless, her impression was, that's not good. That's not right. Maybe you're not aware. I was almost thinking about it. Maybe the person could have done better for themselves socially if they would have just said, hey, guys, I'm going through a lot, or, hey, I got to sort some things. Like, I'm always trying to, like, if I'm on my phone, I want people to know why.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm so sorry. Just, I got to sort about four or five things. You know, I got to get to my kids right now, or give me 5-10 minutes. I'll be right back. I always think that's a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Because I know who I am. And if I just check out, people are taking those mental notes.
Yeah, that's right.
So always remember, it's not about what is being said.
Mm.
Go to the source. Who said it? That's why whenever I hear, like, you know, like gossip or toxicity or comments, I'm always going, okay, so who said that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me who said that.
But because everybody said it.
Because it matters.
Yep.
That's right.
It just matters. Who is saying it matters. The second thing that I want to encourage you with, it's not what you're doing that matters. It's who you're doing it with.
Hmm.
And that, to me, is exciting. It's like, it's the whole thing about mentors or influences. I choose my influences. My influences don't choose me. I choose who gets proximity in my life.
Yeah.
I choose who I'm going to have in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I choose who I'm going to vacation with, because I know that who I choose is a reflection of who I am.
That's right.
And so I think that you have to be a little bit more deliberate on not just letting anybody have access to you. I know I'm getting into kind of like, I want to be careful here, because there's a spirit that I think is very important for us to understand. Don't throw your pearls before swine. What is the context of that? I can't just let everybody be at my house and everybody be in my space and everybody. I'm not trying to overvaluate myself. I'm just trying to really understand that who matters,
mm-hmm.
yep.
and who I choose, who I have compassion for, who I have interest in, who I feel called to, you know, invest into, who I'm developing, who matters. And I think that if you're not careful, you just accept any Joe Schmo. You just go, well, they showed interest, and so I, no, it's not what you're doing. That matters more than who you're doing it with. Who comes alongside you? Because the people you're rolling with, that's a cosign. That's an endorsement.
Yep.
That, you know, half of people's lives are being blessed because they're with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's really good.
Half of the doors that open for people is because they're with you. And if they weren't with you, they would have never met so-and-so. And if they weren't with you, they wouldn't have gone that far. I know that because that's my whole life.
Right.
I know how good I am. I'm not that good. But because I was with them, they thought, oh, he's good.
Yep.
Oh, he's really talented. Oh, he's, and that's the game changer, is relationship. Your alignment determines your assignment. And so because of how influential you are, come on, leader, you're influential. You're a leader. You've got favor. You've got opportunity. You've got, come on, you're a leader. And so it's not about what you're doing. I would sit down if I were you, and I would make a list in this season of my life. Who do I really feel called to invest into and to raise up? Who should I be developing? Who's like a Joshua in my life? Who's like a Timothy in my life? Who's somebody that, you know, like everybody else wrote off, but I see gold. Mm-hmm. That's so much of leadership, by the way, is just going like, as long as I can calculate the risk I'm willing to take because I feel like I have a burden to really help so-and-so get from A to B, and I really have a heart to make sure that my ceiling is their floor, then I'm fine with it because it's about the who.
Yeah.
And who I love and believe in is not who you love and believe
right.
in. They're just, they're different spheres. They're different burdens. They're different callings. And so remember, it's not about what you're doing. What you're doing is kind of like second.
Right.
Mm, yeah.
Who you're doing it with, that's always first.
That's really good.
So we always say, what is the great saying? What is the old saying? Right people, right place, right time. Where does it start? People.
Mm.
It's always about really the people. It's always about the group. It's always about the team. It's not about the goal. It's not about the objective. It's not about the strategy. It's not about the system. It's about the person. Who you're doing things with matters more than what you're doing. And the last one, number three, we're going to get to Nick Nelson. You're going to love this. It's not what others think about me that matters. It's what I think about me that matters. So who, in this case, who matters? Who matters the most is me. I matter. And this is, I want to be very in context here. Because Jesus said this, love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
I cannot love others or the team until I first love me. Uh-huh. I have to take a priority in my life, my health, my mental health, my finances, my sleep, my exercise. Why do I take priority? Because I'm no good as a leader until. So it's like, oh yeah, who said that and who I'm doing it with? But it's like the biggest who? In leadership is you.
That's right.
The greatest investment really you will good. Ever make in your life is investing into yourself.
That's right.
Making it. Why do you listen to podcasts? You're investing into you. Why do you listen to audiobooks or read books? I'm investing into you. Why do you take a vacation? It's an investment into me. Yep. Why do I go to bed early? I'm investing into my mental health.
Mm.
Why do I, you know, spend money on an Orange Theory fitness membership or have a hobby or fill in the blank? Let me convince you today. The greatest investment you will ever make is not Tesla stock. It's not Apple stock. These are great investments, by the way. You know, so is PayPal, so is Disney. It's controversial, but it's a good investment. The greatest investment you'll ever make is investing into you.
That's right.
Just going like, I believe in my future. So it's like, buy that conference ticket. Get on that airplane. You know, sit down on that YouTube and research things. Because if you get better... Oh, come on, Craig Rochelle. That's another button.
Yep.
We did have a Craig.
What was his?
Did we have a Craig?
No.
Yeah, we did. It was leadership rises and falls.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
That's you never had a Craig one. I would have remembered it.
I thought we did.
I'm just advocating for the great.
I got two empty buttons.
The great Craig Rochelle. Come on. Who's a better leader in the world?
Honestly, let's go.
Than Craig. His famous line, when the leader gets better, everybody gets better. So who matters the most? It's kind of like when the airplane's going down, what is the first thing they instruct you? You better take care of you so that you can go take care of others. That is the fundamental principle of leadership. That if I really love them, I will always invest into me. Because a greater investment into me, if I get better, everybody gets better. Mm-hmm. That's why I really try and in my annual calendar have a few trips that I know I'm going to walk away with a thought, a relationship, a moment, an impartation. I'm going to be changed from this. And because I'm changed, the ripple effect is crazy. You need to really believe in your ripple effect.
Mm.
You need to really be convinced of your influence. And I'm not trying to take a census here and like, I really don't like to stalk like, you know, constantly living in subs and followers and, you know, email numbers. And I, you know, every once in a while it's like, okay, you know, once, twice, three times a year, we look at that and how we're doing. And those are good markers. How many people are downloading? How many people are listening to the audio? And all that stuff's really good. Not that it should move or sway us.
Right.
Doesn't change how hard we work because I don't control results.
No.
You know, but it's good to be aware of influence.
Yep.
It's always good to be able to recognize, oh man, I'm not like, this is part of leadership, in my opinion, is just recognizing I'm not like everybody else.
Mm.
I'm not. I'm a leader. So I can't live like everybody else or talk like everybody else or spend like everybody else because I came under great responsibility. So the requirement for my life is just, I lost the right to do so much. Mm. I don't have the right to act like a child, and I don't have the right to be divisive. I don't have the right to share my feelings on the worldwide internet, and I don't have the right. Why? Because I have responsibility, and with great responsibility comes great requirement. And the more I understand that what flowing out of my life is a massive deal, I will invest more into me. If I don't believe in me, if I do not think of myself as a leader and see myself that way, the greatest matter is you. And so nothing breaks my heart more than when a leader can't see themselves as who they are. Nothing breaks my heart more than when a leader is like, you know, I'm good, but like, you know, I'm not like so-and-so.
I'll never be. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, if they had this, what would they do with this? You know, marveling at the gifts and the talents of others, you know, part of being a great leader is the way I see myself is not too high, but it's definitely not too small. I have a moderate, accurate view of myself.
That's good.
And when I have a moderate, accurate view of myself, I don't, you know, minimize my impact. I don't speak negatively about it. I don't wish it was somebody else's. I can just kind of soberly go, wow, okay, that's where it's at right now, and we'll see where the future takes us.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a long time, a question that some people around were asking is like, how long can you be relevant? You know, like, how long do you think you can be relevant? And I was always fascinated by that question, like, am I relevant?
Does it matter?
Right.
Is that what we're after?
Yeah.
Relevancy? I don't know. Like, everyone I admire had really big moments in their life and probably tons of obscure moments. Relevancy? I've never even thought about that. Influential? Making a great impact? Being a voice in people's life, being a model and an example, leaving a legacy. I've thought about those things.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to invest into me. Why? So I can be relevant. Man, the whole algorithm did us dirty, man.
Yeah,
we're not even care. Relevancy?
Yeah.
If you are relevant, have fun.
Right.
I just think, too, like, all of the most iconic things, you know, the really excellent things, they've been the same forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to change. They're not worried about being relevant because they're always excellent. They're classic. They're iconic.
They're iconic. That's exactly right. And I think if you think about leadership, every principle is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So live by values, live by character, live by integrity, live by principles, and you'll always be, for your word, iconic. You'll always be a legend. You'll always be what, you know, because it's like, dude, at the end of the day, if you got good things to say, you're going to encourage somebody.
Right.
You got good things to say, you're going to help somebody.
Yeah.
If you're filled with wisdom, you're going to really, really help somebody out of a tough situation. So my point, going back to the point, is you matter.
Mm-hmm.
So don't neglect you. Invest into you. I'm very rigid. I live the most boring life you've ever imagined. I cannot get over how boring my life is. My life is a string of boring moments. I just do the same thing.
Right.
I go to the office. I'm going to stop by the gym on the way home. I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat dinner with my kids. We're going to do baths and books. When they go to bed, I go to bed. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning.
Great.
I'm going to work all day.
It's really good.
I'm going to stop by the gym. I'm going to go home. I'm going to have dinner. We're going to do bath and books. When they go to bed, I go to bed. Why? It's an investment in me.
Yep.
And if I got to deviate from my calendar, I'm actually pretty ticked off because it's something I actually have to go do.
Yep.
And I got to get a dinner with them, and I got to go to this event, and I got to go get on an airplane. But like, if I had it my way, I'd keep investing in me. Why do I live it with this passion, because I know if I am strong and healthy and vibrant and full of vision and life, the ripple effect is not even with effort. It's not even with effort. It just happens.
Yep.
Well, you inspired me. Well, that's awesome. Thank you for saying that. I'm living pretty inspired. Does that make sense? It's like, yeah, as opposed to where it's like you're trying and you're doing this and you're trying to force and you're trying to post and you're trying to, it's like, dude, if you really invest into you, it will happen so naturally. Mm-hmm. Everybody will be like, wow.
Yeah.
Something's gotten into you.
I'm not trying to make a ripple. I'm just,
it's just happening. Yeah.
I'm living. Your living has to be better than your leading. Mm. And if your leading takes precedence over your living, fam, you got a problem. Who matters? You do. Let's go. So then I'm back real fast, you know, because we already just ended the episode, but I just got to jump back on, give proper introduction. This guy right here from Houston, Texas, Lakewood Church, under the tutelage of the great Joel Osteen. Pastor Joel Osteen texted me on Sunday a photo of a guy that goes to Zoe. He went and they took a photo together on Sunday. And I just, when a hero texts you, you just kind of like light up like it's Christmas. I love Pastor Joel so much. And Nick Nielsen has served at Lakewood Church for over a decade, faithfully ran the youth, built Hope and Life Conference, has been a friend to me. And dude, this guy and I, we've hooped together. We've had late night dinners. We've had so many conferences, so many youth meetings, so much church, so much fun together. And this guy is a spark plug. This guy's a wall and ball of energy. He's a phenomenal leader with a brand new book. So come on, let's jump in right now to my interview with the great Nick Nielsen.
This is it.
To me, this is as good as it gets.
Really?
Because, you know, some people, you know, if you have some people on, you're kind of like, hey, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. Tell me about your book. Like, this is my dog. This is my guy right
Let's
here.
Let's go.
Bro.
The dreamers meeting the leaners.
You look phenomenal. That's right. The dreamers meeting the leaners. Put it in the caption.
Put it in there. You look great.
How you doing,
I'm
man?
Fantastic. Houston Heat,
bro,
though.
You just
Houston Heat.
But I'm telling you, you brought the heat with this new book. Hey, how good does the back of it look?
Well,
the back cover. Well, show everybody. Dude. That, hey, just like the colors, the pose.
Shout out Sarah Sensio. She took it. She made me look good.
Bro.
You need some serious help.
You look great. The green.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Got it with the hat. Got it with the hoodie.
You know?
Strong.
We're trying. Strong. I'm trying to follow you. Follow your lead. You know what I mean? You blaze trails those of us behind you can just follow.
You're following a greater man, and his name is Joel Osteen. Let's just go on record and get it straight here so everybody can recognize real. Okay.
The OG.
Man, tell me about how did the idea for this book start?
You know, I feel like it's been a long time coming, developing in me, and I've always felt like I was at some point going to do a book, but just trying to figure out when the right time was going to be. And honestly, right. I just felt like beginning of 2021, got the green light, felt compelled by God to do it, felt excited about it. This idea kind of came up within me in January. And as you know, if you call me and I haven't seen you in a while, talked to you in a while, Nick, how you doing? I'm like, I'm living the dream. And to me,
it doesn't mean I
don't have problems. I don't have challenges. I don't face things that are tough. I'm not navigating through pressures and stuff. It's I'm just choosing to have a certain perspective of those things. And as I started to think about what was in me and how I carry myself, what I've lived through, what I've walked through, things I've learned, I've come to realize that perspective is paramount to us becoming everything God's designed us to become, to live the life He's designed for us to live. It derives around your perspective. How am I going to perceive what's happening to me? How am I going to view my finances, my career, my marriage, my relationships, my space of influence? So that all just kind of came bowled out. And it's like a flip on the cultural cliche, right? Like Instagram, living the dream, right? I'm on a yacht, living the dream. I'm at the corner office, living the dream. I have the clothes I want, you know. But I just felt like, you know what? You don't have to wait to experience what those things can provide in the moment. You don't have to wait to experience those things until you arrive there. You can experience them right now with the change of with the change of perspective. And the book kind of leads you into how to do that in practical ways. So when you hear the title, you kind of think, oh, is this just all good? And, you know, it's really about how to navigate through challenges, how to navigate pain, how to see things through a different lens of faith. So I'm like, let's flip this cultural cliche on its head. Let's tell people, hey, you don't have to limit the dream to a destination or a place of arrival. You can live in peace, joy, satisfaction, contentment now. So
good. And you know, to me, I mean, one of the things that I've always loved about you and really admired and respected about you is you have a positive outlook. You're a very upbeat, joyful person. You add value to others. You're just a force of good, a force of helping, serving, loving. I've only seen you encourage people. I've only seen you come alongside people to help them. How do I develop more of that? If I'm a leader, the dreamers and the leaners getting together.
Hey.
If I'm a leader today and I'm going, I want to be like that. I would love to be known as a person that does that. What are some mindsets that you've had to like resolve to live the way you live?
Yeah. Well, I've tried to always maintain a perspective that if God has got me, then that frees me to be about other people. God's got my future. God's in control. He's already laid out. He's the architect of my life. He knows the steps that are in front of me. The chapters are already written. And so for me, I felt like I've tried my best. Of course, I've failed and have been, you know, far from perfect in these areas throughout my journey. But I've tried to keep this perspective that if I can be about God and his kingdom and serve other people and push them higher and empower them and encourage, I do that freely because I know God's got me. I know he's taking care of me. I know he will open the doors for me. I know he'll put me at the tables I need to be at. He is going to bring the right people into my life. And so it's freed me then to be about other people. It's freed me to be about helping others, lifting others, encouraging others, inspiring other people, because I look to God to be my source of those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so good. One of the things I've always admired about you as well is like, you know, we've known each other a long time. And so when you've known someone for a long time, you've seen all the people come and go. And the revolving back door. And I think that's part of life. You know, the old saying, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I know some of your friends that are lifetime with you. I know some people that were clearly there on purpose for a reason. I can think of a few right now. And then I know some people that were with you for a season there in Houston and Lakewood. How have you been able to stay so sweet and positive with so much relational transition? Because I think part of living the dream is that God puts people in your life to live the dream with.
Correct.
How have you been able to navigate that with such a sweet spirit?
That's a good question. Again, I feel like the awareness that when you're where you feel like you're in the grace space that God has you, when you're in your lane, going at your pace, I feel like you have a great understanding that God's going to bring people in and he's going to bring people out. But if I'm if I'm looking at other people as a means for them to make me go to a new level, or I'm always looking to receive versus give, then it always feels very transactional. But if I'm looking at other people that are coming into my life consistently and going, all right, what can I give them? How can I sow into their life? whether they're here a year, 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, I have to see my position and place in their life as some, as a, I got to sow into them. I want to give into them. Yes. So when they leave, there isn't this sense of you owe me something. You're
I made like, you. Yeah, I gave you the.
Exactly. It's come on. Right.
Yeah. Come on.
That's just my perspective is I want to just help the people that come into our space as best I can and empower them and serve them and love them and elevate them. And I just am, again, confident that God will bring the right people in my life for the right seasons. You know, I just feel
that's
like
exactly right.
God will supply solutions, the right relationships, divine opportunities. You know, Zacchaeus was short, but God provided a tree for him so that he could be elevated to see Jesus when Jesus came walking towards him. And I just feel like in every season, God will plant a tree in your path that will make up for your deficiencies and your Beautiful. Opportunities. And Beautiful. I just think those trees can be relationships. Oftentimes yeah. there are relationships that say, hey, if you're owning a business, wherever you find yourself in your space, when you're stepping out, when you're following God and you often look at your deficiencies and go, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to make up for this. I'm not good in this. God has a tree for you.
Yeah.
God has put solutions.
Wow.
Ideas, you know, provision in so place good. Already. That sycamore tree was planted long before he was ever a thought in his mom and dad's mind.
Wow. So true.
That God would have orchestrated that. Go ahead.
I love that. It's very, very powerful, very insightful. I love that's a beautiful thought. And I so believe that. It made me think of that verse. And God will make all grace abound to you so that you at all times in every season will have everything that you need. God's gonna supply all
Come
of
on.
Your needs.
Come
so
on.
I love that thought. What do you say to people that say, right. man, you know, Nick, I want to live the dream. Right now, I'm living the nightmare. Like how do you shift? Because I think a lot of people are watching someone like you and they go, well, yeah, you're living the dream. But right now, I'm getting punched in the face. One of my favorite lines from Bishop Jakes is, currently, right now, all of your heroes are being punched in the face. And I think some of us find comfort in that, going like, you know, there is no magic pill. There is no magic life. We all have challenges.
100%.
How do I turn my nightmare into the dream?
Great. No, it's a great question. For me, it even goes back to what I thought was the dream for me, which was football. I mean, when I was in high school, all my equity, investment, attention, and focus was on playing football. Senior year of high school, third game in, tear my ACL. Played tailback. Already verbally committed to play at Michigan State. Thought that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I was a young believer. And ACL's torn and just thought, man, my world's collapsing. This is the dream. God, this is what I get for... Like what happened, you know, so many things I was wrestling with God on.
Wow.
And got surgery, rehab. And during that time away from the field, God did a very unique thing in my life and in my heart where I tried my best to keep my eyes on him, believing. I had some great people, great voices around me at that time, great friends saying, hey, God's going to work this out for your good. Trust him. So I just kind of, you know, buckled down and trusted God and just try to keep my perspective on his promise. And through that time, my heart began to shift from football to ministry, from playing football to going after, you know, being a pastor. And I didn't grow up in church, didn't have any framework of what that would really look like, but just the desire grew in me. And long story short, with football even in front of me as an opportunity, I decided to go towards becoming a pastor. Because I was so excited to do it. I felt so led and compelled to do it. So it was almost as if God allowed it. He didn't cause it, but he allowed it so that he could do the work in me that was necessary to get me to do what I was made to do. Football was what I wanted to do, but ministry was what I was made to do. Mm. And so now hindsight, I can thank God and go, had that door not closed, had I not gone through that, I would never be doing what I'm doing now. And I'm experiencing so much more satisfaction happiness, contentment, peace, fulfillment, doing what I'm doing. But as a 17-year-old kid going through that storm as a young believer, I would have never imagined that. That pain was real, but that pain propelled me into my purpose. And so,
so good.
Now I'm thankful for that closed door. Because it led me to a better door that God knew.
I love that. Say that line again. What did you say? Football's what I love to do, but ministry was what I was made to do. Wow. Yeah. And I think life is about discovering that.
Absolutely. So for me, it's taught me to view closed doors differently. It's taught me to have a different perspective on storms, challenges, problems. All right, God, there's something here that's bigger that you're doing. You're going to work this out for my good somehow. That's your promise. That's what I'm going to focus on. Faith isn't ignoring the facts, right? Mm. Faith is looking beyond them. So I'm going to look at this diagnosis. I got to look at the books. I got to look at the mountain in front of me. But my perspective, I got to at some point get beyond that and go, all right, God, this sucks. I don't wish it on anybody, but I'm trusting that you're going to work this out for my good. And honestly, Chad, the book has a lot of those stories of not like triumphant moments, but times in my life and in my wife's life and in our family where we went through some hard stuff. And my wife, even now walking through vertigo, she's had vertigo and physical challenges for 8 years. And I talk very transparently about how we wrestle with that, how she chooses, what perspective she chooses to carry every day in faith to help her navigate through that. And so, yeah, she came, I'll share this story with you, Chad. She came into my room 2 weeks ago and she said, Nick, I've done everything I know to do. I've went to doctors, I've prayed, I've declared, I've done everything I know to do in faith that we know. But I can't keep walking around this same mountain over and over and over again. You know. So she says, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stand on it.
Ooh.
She says, I'm gonna stand on this thing until God moves it.
Wow.
And in other words, she said, I'm gonna just use this as a platform to tell people,
let's go.
This mountain may not be moving, but I still trust God. I still believe he's got a great future for me.
Come on.
I still believe he can and he will move it. He says he'll turn mountains into molehills. So if he does it instantly or over time, this thing's moving. But we trust him. Even in the midst of it, even if it doesn't move.
Wow.
I'm gonna still give God glory. And that's
so good.
That's that perspective that I'm talking about.
It's all perspective. Now, you know, on Leadership Lean In, on this podcast, we talk about John Maxwell quite often. In fact, he has his own little button that we hit and John Maxwell's voice gets piped in, you know. It's a whole situation. Now, Nick, you've had some experience with John Maxwell.
No, this is for the outtake.
You've been in leadership conferences with John Maxwell. It leads me to my next question, Nick. I want to live the dream, but I've got failure in my life. we're laughing at an inside joke here. You know, a lot of times I think people, what they want to be living the dream, but it's not just the nightmare. Sometimes a lot of times it's like, I'm carrying shame. You know, it's like, I got failure. I made some big mistakes. I have disqualified myself from living the dream. Talk to me about, and talk to us about overcoming failure, because I think that's just a big part of it. You know, one of my favorite truths is a righteous man falls seven times.
That's what I was just going to say.
And still rises. Yep. Talk to me, because I think
he keeps getting,
you might have failed, but you can still step into your dream.
That's, yeah. Someone asked me, what do you think leadership is? And for me, I think my first response was leadership is failing and getting up. Leadership is continuously failing and getting up, because If you're not failing, it tells me you're not trying anything new. Expanding yourself. Into new environments. Exposing yourself to new lessons, new methods, new things that you naturally aren't gravitating towards and doing. So I think I would question the opposite and say, man, if you're not failing at stuff right now, then that might be the bigger question. But no, I think it's something we all work out and deal with. I think, as you said, following Jesus, fulfilling his plan for your life, living the dream, it's not about being perfect. It's about getting good at getting back up.
That's right.
When you do make mistakes and go, hey, God's got me. He's qualified me. I think that's the principle and the key is not quitting, not giving up. And whether I was running a camera as an intern at a John Maxwell conference and failed miserably is what Chad was alluding to. I did something really immature. So if you've ever done something immature as a leader,
You got to admit, it's one of the best stories you got.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like in your whole repertoire of stories, that's got to be top five. Top 10.
Top five. I'm pulling it out. Maybe top three.
Yeah, like it's
ministry
so
context,
good.
Oh, it's top three.
It's as good as it gets.
I had to get up from it.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, you got to bounce
from
back.
That one.
Like that idea though, and I really like what you're saying because who can't relate with failure?
Yeah,
you know who can't relate with, writing a book on all the mistakes I've made. But I think that it's so important that we just address it for a second because I think when we talk about living the dream, a lot of people go Joel Osteen, who has the appearance from the outside world of someone that just really has it all together. He is eligible to live the dream, but I'm not. And I just don't think that's true. And I think it's really good what you're saying because I think just like Joel and just like all of us, we're all trying to just work through life and become the healthiest, best version of ourselves.
Yes. 100%.
So
good.
So good. I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited to read this book. Yeah. I hope every leaner and every dreamer reads the book. We need some leaner dreamer merch.
Let's go.
Collab.
We need a fall
leaner X
collaboration.
Dreamer. It's a whole thing. It's in green. That green is fire, bro.
That's very green. Whoa, it's so hot, bro.
Well, everybody, check out this new book. It's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere, right?
Yep, everywhere books are sold.
Everywhere 100%. Books are sold.
Amazon, Chad's trunk. Just hustle
everywhere,
it for me, bro.
Bro, love you. Appreciate you.
Love you more.
Never change. You've been the same person since the day. I think you've been the same person since that kid that got hurt his senior year. I'm just convinced you have. You've only grown. You have not changed, and that's why you're special, and that's why God has blessed you the way that He has. So thank you for being the leader that you are. We're leaning in. We're learning. We want to live the dream. We love you, bro. Thanks for stopping by.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in the Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.